Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll be looking here starting at verse 10, but before I do that, do you remember what the Bible tells us about in the last days? It was talked about as the days of Noah. That refers to like Noah, right? And if you go back and look at the times of Noah in the book of Genesis chapter 6, what you'll see in there is the wickedness of man. There was no desire for God, no care of God. The imagination was completely wicked. It was just horrible. But it also says that the world or the earth was filled with violence. And you look at our world today, our world is filled with violence. Recently, I don't know if you heard or read about it, but a young man, I think he was around 20 years old, started a fire out in Idaho, I think it was. Started a fire out in Idaho. And he called the 911 on it and said, there's a fire. And the fire people came out, and it was a setup. And he shot him. This world is filled with violence. You know, it's just pure wickedness. And it's the reality is, as a believer, you're not going to understand that. I'm not going to understand it because we're not, we're born again. But wow, I'll tell you, this world is just, it's so sad, the sickness that we see in this world. Ephesians chapter 6, so we've been doing a study on our Lord, been talking about He is our example. Since He's our example, then we should walk like Him. And so I've been talking about recently about our walk and some things about our walk, how to keep us on that path, following the Lord. And last week, I think I was talking about, focus on your walk, have temperance in your walk, finish your walk. The rewards at the end of the walk. And this week I'm going to continue on. Rely on Jesus in your walk. Rely on Jesus in your walk. Look here at Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now here it is. He's telling us to put on this whole armor. When you look at verse 10, we're supposed to be strong in who? In the Lord, right? That's not you. That's Him. So the reality is, you think about on our walk, we need to be strong in Him. And what? And the power of whose might?
The Lord's might.
The Lord's might. His might. Let me ask you, in your walk, have you been stumbling? Have you been falling off the path? Have you been getting out of the way? Do you ever think about this? The devil knows that you're saved, right? He knows that you have eternal life. His goal is to trip you up, right? When I was younger, I don't know, maybe I was 11 years old. Well, I used to go behind my friend's house, and behind his house that was there, they had this hill. And they had this hill that was kind of a little steep to climb up. There was some, industry that was there. And it was kind of, But it was like this little hill that you had to climb up. It wasn't too high. So maybe, I'm 11 years old. Now I'm 50, so try to remember it. But I'm guessing it was maybe as high as maybe the ceiling that's there. So it was a little steep, that would go up, but you could climb it. And what we would do is we would play, King of the Mountain, but it was really King of the Little Hill that's up there. So what we would do is one person would get up on top of that hill, and then the others would be there, and we'd try our best to try to climb up that hill because it was a little difficult to do. But then when we get up close to that hill, he would try to kick us or whatever it was to keep us down. And then if we grab him, Chris, we would throw him down the hill, try to be the next king of the hill. So anyone ever play those games?
Yeah.
So anyway, maybe that's why my back hurts so much. I don't know. But anyway, can I tell you, you think about your life, your walk, you're walking for the Lord. The devil is going to try his best to get you off the path. Now, sometimes he may come straight at you that you know that it's him. And the reality is, it'd be a little bit easier. But most times, you know what he does? He's a roaring lion. He's sitting there waiting that you're not paying attention. Or you get distracted. A trial comes. And then when the trial comes, wham! You're off, right? So, it's all right. The altar didn't fall over, amen. But anyway, we could see we need to stay strong in his power, his might. Allow him to help you in this walk. Look what it says here in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if you look at this and you see these things here, one-on-one, you're not going to win. You're going to lose the battle. If it was you and the devil, and it was just you and the devil alone. Now, Chris, I know you're a pretty strong guy. You know, you're getting close. You keep on lifting weights. You may get past me strength-wise. I don't know. But anyway, the reality is this. If it was just a match between you and the devil, he would destroy you. You would be no match.
We all would get destroyed.
You know what I mean? You understand? We would be totally destroyed. And here it is. He's telling us that we're in this battle, right? So you think about this. Why is it in our walk that we try to handle it our own, right? You're going to lose every time. But you know what's amazing? I found this one time. I think it was years ago. I found this. And it's so, so amazing to me. Keep your finger here at verse 12 and go back to chapter 1. So kind of like in your Bible, you want to do this, right? You can look at chapter 1 and go back to verse 6, right? Chapter 1, verse 6. I'm sorry, chapter 1, chapter 6. So in chapter 1, at verse 20, so you can easily refer back to chapter 6, but look here in chapter 1, verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. So here in Ephesians 1, verse 20, you can see it speaks of Christ. Now, get ready, right? Verse 21, far above. Let's think about that, far above. This means greater, no comparison, right? Far above. All principality. Look over to chapter 6 and verse 12 again. Who are you warring against after flesh and blood, but against what?
Principalities.
Principalities. Chapter 1, verse 21. Far above all principalities. What you can't win and what you can't do, God is far above. Do you see that? Now look. And power. Chapter 6. Against powers. Back to chapter 1, and might and dominion against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So in chapter 1, it tells us, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. What is no match for you and me, God is far above. Do you understand that? So when you look back to chapter 6 and you think about this walk, if you and I are the ones that are walking, we're walking alone. Well, the reality is, King of the Mountain is an example. You're going to get knocked off every single time. But if you're on top that mountain or walking that path and you have God and you're in the power of His might, right? His strength, they're not going to knock you off because He's far above. Amen? Do you understand? Hey, so if you think about it, in our walk, what we need to do is rely on the Lord. Rely on His strength. Now sometimes that is easy to preach, hard to practice. Why is that? Because of my flesh, right? Could be my pride that would get in the way. Look what the Bible says over here. Let me see if I can find it. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians... In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, so just remember, He's far above anything that you'll battle, anything that you'll face. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look down here, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, I believe this is Paul that's saying this, through the abundance of the revelation. Do you imagine what Paul seen, what God allowed him to know? It was like, whoa. Look at this. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God allowed this thorn into Paul's life. It's not a sin. It was the devil, it was the demon pestering him, buffet him, right? I don't know 100% what the thorn is. But look what Paul said. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Paul was a great man of faith. This was even during a time when the gift of healing. God did not heal Paul, take it away. Look what he says. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How is it that Paul is saying that he's weak when Paul is at the weakest point is when he's the strongest? How is that possible? Oh, are you going to raise your hand? What was it? Go ahead. Where is it?
Because it's Christ's strength.
Yeah, he's relying on God, right? He's relying on the Lord to help him. So when you think about, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes in our life, God allows things in. Why? May make us more weak where we realize how much more I need him. Amen? And you rely on him. So in your walk, it's our desire to walk for the Lord. But don't do it in your own strength. You're going to fall every single time. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to fall. Through my years, I know of pastors who got their eyes off of Jesus. And they greatly fell. I know of a pastor who ended up in prison. I know of other pastors who lost a ministry committing adultery. I mean, they had these big churches, right? Not against big churches, but they had big churches. They were serving the Lord. They were seeing people come to the Lord. And whatever, I don't know what it was, they got their eyes off the Lord and got their eyes on things of this world. Folks, all I'm saying is this, rely on his strength, not your own. Don't think, I got this taken care of, right? Hey, Mark will struggle, but not me. Nope, you're going to fall, right? Keep your eyes on Jesus. So we need to rely on him in our walk. Rely on him. Have you been doing that this past week? You think about it, in your past week, look at your life. Are you really relying on the Lord to help you? Are you relying on him to strengthen you? When you run into problems, what do, right? Do you try to handle it yourself? Or are you saying, Lord, I need your help? You think about that verse, pray without ceasing, right? The reality is, you think about it, as you're going about your day, the truth of the matter is, we should be in a mind of prayer. You face things, right? You challenge us. You pray. And sometimes what happens, we all forget about that, right? Well, it's like, what was he doing? Why didn't I pray about that? Joshua, you think about how great Joshua was. Joshua is the one to lead Israel into the promised land. Think about what they saw. And what was it? Some of the people, the enemy that came in, that gave the appearance they were from a far distance. And said, hey, we make a pact with us, a covenant with us. You make a covenant with us and we'll serve you. And they did not consult with the Lord. You know what that means? They didn't pray about it. And then what happened? They found out, they made a covenant, and then they found out they were their enemies. And they were then a thorn to them. I remember, sometimes I repeat stories, so I hope you don't mind. But anyway, I remember a time talking to someone. They were getting ready to buy a car. And as they were getting ready to buy a car, they did not pray about it. And I asked them directly, I said, "Hey, did you pray about this?" And that person, the one person, got mad at me at that. Imagine that. "What are you doing?" You know, just getting mad at me, asking the question. Now, these are Christians, right? Anyway, they ended up buying the car. They had a warranty that was for a month long. And right after the month, you know what happened? It rained. And they went out to their car, Chris, and opened the car door. And there must have been a crack or something, or maybe the windshield wasn't put in right or something. Their car had water. I can't remember what it was. It was like this much water. They had a horrible storm. Can you imagine that? This coming in. It was there. It's wise to pray, right? Why? Because you have people out there trying to rip you off too, amen? But anyway, pray about it, amen? Rely on His strength. Turn back here to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I won't go through everything, but if you look at verse 12 down to verse 17, he talks about the armor of God, how to put this armor on. It talks about that shield of faith. You hold that shield of faith. And believing what God said. I love that verse. I think it's verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Amen. There's not a single dart that can get through that shield of faith. Amen. Believing what God said in His word. Amen. Trust Him. Amen. And what a blessing. Verse 17, that helmet of salvation, knowing that you are born again, that God has saved you. It's a wonderful thing. Now look at verse 18. Here's this, another thing about our walk. In your walk, in my walk, let's be thinking of others in our walk. Thinking of others in our walk. Here it is, this armor of God. And look down here, verse 18. What is he saying? "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." For all saints. So as we're in our walk with the Lord, right, this journey that God has allowed us, let's be thinking about others in our walk. Others, or what they may be going through, right? Miss Alma, and in our walk, we should be thinking about Miss Alma and the different unspoken prayer requests that she may bring up. Thinking about different battles she may be going through. You know, thinking about Mark as he had some back pain, and thinking about John with his van, and Chris with his business that he has, that, you know, things would get up and, you know, grow for him, right? The Chris and Rachel raising these little kids, amen, these young kids, that they would stay faithful and raise them. You know, thinking about others and all the saints. You know, in our life, a lot of times, when you get in a trial, you know what you think of? Me! Amen? That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of me. Well, I need to think about you, and you, and you, right? Different things that you're going through. And here it is, in our walk, don't forget about others in your walk. Don't forget about others in your walk. Start thinking and praying for other people. Especially your church family. Amen? Spend some time praying for your church family. My heart broke when Jenny texted me about her brother losing her stepson. You know? I just can't imagine that. He was around 19, 20 years old. And I know there's some things that's there. But I can't imagine as a dad, you're thinking about her brother, as a dad, right? Hearing about or finding the stepson. I don't know if he found him or not. But could you imagine that? How horrible that must be, right? So, and you think about the family. So what do? You pray for them, right? And you think about different things that people may be going through. And here he tells us to pray for them. Bring them before God. You think about, praise the Lord that you're here today. Those that are trying to come faithfully, and I'm sure there'd be others that love to be here but can't be here. But you think about, there's those that should be here and are not. Do you pray for them? I mean, do you spend time going before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm praying for so-and-so, and bring them, Lord, bring them back. Can I tell you, we should spend time thinking about others in our walk. This life that I'm living is for the Lord. Should be for the Lord. It's not about me. It's Him. And He's telling us in our walk to think about other people. I think about Brother Jeff Colt, and I do. I pray for him. I pray for him when he goes to India or goes to Peru. I think about some other people. I think of Brother Fielder as he's traveling across the country in an RV. Imagine him traveling in an RV all across the country with some crazy people on the road. And I think about him, you know, and I think about others that are there. But pray. So in our walk, let's think about others. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, so thinking about others on our walk. In Hebrews chapter 10, look down here, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, verse 25. The Bible says, and let us consider one another, promote unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of yourself together, right? God wants you in church, amen? In church to come together, assemble together, right? Not forsaking it, amen? As the matter of some is, unfortunately, there's a lot, amen, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, no one knows when our Lord is returning, right? But we can know that it appears it's surely getting closer. But some of these things, that word promote means to call near or to call in action. Exhorting means to comfort or to excite by words or advice. Urge by arguments or caution, right? So you think about trying to encourage people in their walk. Trying to tell them, hey, you missed a good service. Hey, there was something that was preached that would help you, right? But to encourage them, especially when they come in. How many have ever visited a church and you've gone into a church and no one has ever said hi to you? You know? Probably feels a little weird, doesn't it?
This church wasn't
again. Yeah. Hopefully it wasn't us, right? So, you know. Well, we were trying to get rid of you, John, so I'm just joking. So that's a weird feeling, right? I always try to as a pastor, and sometimes it's hard because I'm up here and I'm preaching and I'm on that conference call, but it's like whenever I'm done and someone comes in, I try to get on my conference call, try to tell them, and then I try to walk as fast as I can, go to the back, so at least I could say hi to someone, right? Maybe a first-time visitor or something that's there. But when you think about it, is we should be. When people come in, make people feel welcome. Make people feel welcome. Make people to say, hey, you know, there's a bulletin, you know. Tell them where the restrooms are or whatever, amen. Or if you want to, say, hey, you have a Bible? If not, I'll get you a Bible, right? There's a Bible up there. You can give them the Bible. Anyway, make them feel comfortable. But you see here, he's trying to encourage, right? Maybe you found someone that you invited to church and you see him come in. Go sit with them, amen. You know, help them to find things. Anyway, encourage them. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. But you should welcome people that come to church. Amen. Be thankful they're there. Amen. Look here at John chapter 4. So again, I'm talking about others on our walk. And look back to this example in John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples," he trained his disciples and they were baptizing them, "he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." And look at this. "And he must needs go through Samaria." Why? Well, now we'll find out. Why did he have to go, or must needs? Why was it so important for our Lord to go to this place of Samaria? The Jewish people looked down at the Samaritans. Why did the Lord? Well, look. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey," he was 100% God, but he was 100% man, right? "Sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep, and hence then hast thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this well shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You go through this, you know what you'll see? I call it salvation 101. Here is our Lord, went to a well, sat at the well, waited for that lady, and as that lady came, he said, "Give me the drink." He took a normal, everyday conversation, water. And she was like, "Something is different about this Jewish man. You do know you're a Jew. I'm Samaritans. We don't. There's no dealings. I can't believe that you're talking to me." Right? It's not that she wouldn't talk to him. It was just the Jews who looked down. And then what is it? He took a normal everyday conversation and turned it to spiritual. And start telling her about this living water. She didn't understand about it. Don't be surprised when the lost don't understand about salvation, right? And then he went through and he started to explain to her about salvation, that he is the living water. And then what happened? He asked her a question. And she said that, he said, "Go call your husband." She says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "Thou hast rightly answered, because you have had five husbands and you're living with someone," right? You know what he was doing? He was dealing with her sin. You know, before someone gets saved, you have to see that they're a sinner on their way to hell. He was dealing with her sin. And you know what happened after she started talked about her sin? You know what she did? She went right to her religion, our father's worship. Isn't that what people do? When you start talking about sin, they'll go right to their religion. That's what she did. And Lord, I'm paraphrasing it, was like, "Religion's not going to save you." And then she knew a little bit. We're getting over there to verse 25. "The woman that saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." He told her, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And she realized that the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that will pay for her sins, was standing before her. And what was it? She believed. She took that water pot and sat it down. And she went. And she went into that town. She said, "Come and see, a man has told me everything." Amen. "Everything about me." And I can imagine those men were thinking, "Uh-oh." You know, if he knows about you, he knows about us. And those other people were there like, "Uh-oh." And they came. Some believed, and others that came. Look down here at verse 34. When his disciples came back, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that thereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you have entered into their labor. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Go back to that verse. It says, verse 35, 4 months to harvest. And he goes on, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white. Yeah. Do you know what he was talking about? He wasn't talking about... What's that?
All the lost people.
There was a bunch of lost people that were coming. Those guys with gray hair, amen. Now I'll just take gray hair, amen. Anyway, what was it? There was a crowd of people that was coming. And what was it? He had them to look. He says, look at that field that's coming. It's white. It's ready to pick. You can bring them to me. Right? Do you see that? They were on their journey. Our Lord, you think about it, was walking, stopped at the well. Why? Because he's always thinking about others. And what was he trying to get the disciples to do? To think about others, right? Yeah. Think about it. In our life, our walk, God brings people to us. If I could use the illustration of John, so hopefully I won't embarrass him too much. I went down to get some water right before church, and as I was coming up, John almost knocked me over. Well, it wasn't that bad, but John was like, I got to go get water.
King of the Hill.
And I was like, yeah, King of the Hill, right? And I was like, what do you need water for? He said, because I saw a gentleman out here. It looks like he needs a drink. You know? So I was like, John, take my water, right? And then next thing I know, I looked outside and I saw John with a man that's out there that was standing and gave water. And you know what I saw? I saw a seed being planted. And then when he came in, you know what I heard? I heard the opportunity to be watered. That's what we're supposed to do in our walk. We're thinking of others. We look out and he was thinking, that man looks like he's... tired and maybe needs a drink, right? Yeah. He met him at the well. He brought the well to him. Amen. Folks, what I'm saying is in our life, now someone will have to, we'll have to start calling him Tofu John or something, so that way his head's not too big to leave. All I'm saying is this, on your walk and my walk, keep your eyes open. Not just to be an encouragement to the believers, but for those that are lost. Look here, go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12. So now we're in this walk, right? We're talking about living for the Lord, thinking about others, relying on the Lord. Look what he says here, verse 13. Hebrews 12, oh, there's a lot of good stuff that's in the book of Hebrews. Kind of verse 1 and 2, he tells us, keep your eyes on the Lord. Down to verse 3, down to verse like 12, he talks about chastening. If you get out of the path, God will chasten you. It's a blessing to know that you're a child of God, but it's not a blessing when you go through it. And look what he says here, verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know how that afterwards he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now he's talking about he gave up just for a bowl of lentils, beans, you know? That's all he wanted. He was just thinking about the here and now, right? He's not talking about salvation, right? Some people try to apply salvation. That's not the case. But what do we see? Keeping sin out of your walk. Keeping sin out of your walk. What he says, make straight paths for your feet, right? Don't be going on over to the edge. You follow exactly where God wants you to be, right? Just straight paths for your feet. What else did he talk about, verse 15, right? Peace with others, right? In verse 14. Verse 15, look diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That root of bitterness. Bitterness. Now, bitterness can come in different ways, right? But bitterness will only come when the seed is planted. The root of bitterness. The seed is planted. And then what? It's watered. And then what? It's going to grow. And when it grows, you can chop it off like I try to do those raspberry bushes, but I don't get the root. It just comes right back up again. The root of bitterness. And you know what that root of bitterness can do? Trouble you. Here is John did something against me, right? Whatever it was, he did something against me. And I haven't been able to forgive John. He didn't. You know what that is?
I'm walking home, right?
Yeah, I guess so. The seed of bitterness has been planted, and now it's growing. And every time I see John Chris, it's going to trouble me. Why? Because there's bitterness.
It's going to keep growing.
You're right.
Until you saw
it. And what is it going to do? It's going to get me out of my walk with the Lord. Because if I'm not right, if I'm not willing to forgive him, right, my prayers are going to be hindered. So that root of bitterness, keep sin out. And if you have bitterness, can I tell you, just don't chop off, get rid of the root. Tell the Lord you're sorry, right? One of the, if you have someone that's against you, it's really going against you. It's really hard because that's a root of bitterness. Do you know what I learned in my life? I learned the Bible is always true. Amen. Bless them that curse you.
Amen.
Pray for those despitefully use you. I struggle with that sometimes in my Christian life. But I'm telling you, I learned that, and I have had people persecute me, and I will get down on my knees and pray for them, and I don't say, God, bring down the fire! Nope. I say, God, help. I don't know what they're going through, but will you bless them? And Chris, when you start praying for someone that you have a root of bitterness, boy, can I tell you, it's kind of like taking that pest control stuff, whatever it is, the weed control. It'll go right down to the roots. Because when you start praying for them, truly praying for them and caring for them, that next time that you run into them, you're not going to think about, oh, what do you know? You have already forgiven to be like, hey, John, how are you doing today? You know? Can I tell you, get down to the root. What is it? But keep sin out. Here's the last thing we should have. We'll have time. 1 Peter. 2 Peter. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. 2 Peter. I think we'll have time. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I still have your attention? You got one more?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1.
All night.
I love it. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. I mean, think about this. It's close to 8 o'clock. It's not late. Can I tell you, there's some places you go to church, people want to jump out, right? It's like you got in and get out. You guys want to stay. Praise the Lord. Amen. What's that?
What? You got to
hit the bar. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Some of them do, right? He's joking. Amen. Well, I think I got another verse we're going to be doing tonight. I'm just joking. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, look here at verse 3. Here's one of the best things that you can do. Right, all these things are good. Keep growing in your walk. Keep growing in your walk. Look what these verses say. These are very powerful verses to apply to your heart. Keep growing in your walk, right? So this means you just keep on. Look what it says here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According to his divine power, has given unto us all things to pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You got everything that you need to succeed. Woohoo! And you think that's good, gets better. Whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises. Just when you thought you got everything that you need, God says, plus, I got more coming for you. I'm telling you, gets better. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. Praise to God, you have the victory. And look at this. And besides this, give all diligence, right? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. He's telling us to grow. Grow in our walk, right? Our spiritual growth. And in knowledge, temperance. And the temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. And the godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. Look at this. For if these things be in you, right? These are in you, and you're growing. Look what he says. And abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Look at this. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Talks about growing in our life. Spiritual growth, right? Growing closer and closer to the Lord. Can I tell you, it is God's desire for you and me to walk with him. Do you see this? The spiritual growth will help you to be fruitful in your walk. The spiritual growth will help what? You to be stable in your walk. Again, King of the Mountain, right? He's going to try to knock you off, but you realize, I need your strength and your power, right? We're all going to face trials. The Bible tells us that trials, it's common unto man. It's common. You're going to have trials. Every single one that's in this room today goes through a trial, right? Little Arlo doesn't understand, you know, he's only what? One?
One and a half.
One and a half. He went through a trial when he had to go to the hospital, right? He just doesn't understand it. It was more of a trial maybe for you, right? But, you know, he went through a little thing, right? He didn't understand it. But they went through the trial, right? So it will help you to be stable in your walk. But you see in verse 9, this failure to grow can cause you to lose sight of your walk with the Lord. Cause you to feel defeated. Did you see that? It can cause you to doubt your salvation. It can cause you to move away from the Lord. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's not talking about a lost person. What is it? He's on his journey. He's on his walk. And what is it? He's not growing. He's not stable. He gets his eyes off the Lord. Trials come. And what is it? He gets to the place where he could start doubting his sin, right? And what do we see here? He feels defeated. And he moves away from the Lord. Folks, can I tell you one of the greatest things? This chapter is really, really good. Just continue to walk and grow closer to the Lord every single day. Every single day. Just keep on growing. Because if you're not growing and moving forward, that means you stopped. You're moving backwards. And verse 9 can come a reality in your life. You can't do it on your own. You have to rely on him. Father, thank you for this opportunity to allow me to preach your word. And I pray that this message is a help and a blessing. And I pray that it would help us in our walk with you. And Lord, I pray that you give us safety as we travel home, and that you would just help us, each and every one, that we'd spend time with you this week. And we ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.